Today's title is When Warriors Gather, Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. When we're there, we'll get started. The speakers were really good, and I understood that some of the comments was, well, we heard it before. And my comment or retort to that statement is, if you got it right the first time, probably the message would change. You know, so it's real important that, you know, the part is on you, not on the speaker. And, you know, here at Streams, last week I was emphasizing the importance that God expects us to grow up. God expects us to have a different mindset. God expects us to be responsible. And I'll ask Miss Holly later on, but I had said to her that, you know, people think that because we're radical, we're a cult. And she was chuckling about that, so I'll have to ask you about that later. Because I didn't see the humor in it, but obviously I'm missing a point. So,
no.
But that's okay, there's later. But in the case of it, for mature Christians, there is going to be a radicalness and a difference. And those who have been reading Primal have understood a little bit more clearer as to what God expects of us. And it's nothing more than what we had stated the first day we started this ministry, in that we're just getting back to the plumb line. We haven't even entered into the greater works yet. And so every piece from this point forward for the last couple weeks has been, now we're going to get to that point of the plumb line and move ahead. God is building an apostolic church of which we are part of, the end time church. And what does that look like? And every week we will be describing a little bit more of how that church looks and what the people look like in that. And so today, when starting off about warriors, when warriors gather, hopefully we'll come away with a different perspective, because I'm going to be talking about why we gather on Sunday. Okay? So let's start. We're all there in Ephesians. This is Apostle Paul speaking. He says, look how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. And do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord in your heart. You may be saying, you know, how does this title correlate with singing and making music in your heart and all? And I said, it has everything to do with it, because we have to understand that the church today does not have a proper understanding of what the gathering of the believers is all about. They don't understand what has happened to the condition of the church from the time that Christ died and rose from the dead to commission the church to go forth to the point of where we are today. And the reason why I say that is because the raw zeal of God has been missing within the church, and that is now returning back. And what has happened is we have allowed humanism to come in from the outside world and come into the church and make it ebb away to become a clinical environment in which we have a certain time schedule, we sing a couple hymns, we take an offering, and then we have a message that's preached that we have little or no intention of making the application of the truths being shared. Wouldn't you say that's predominantly what the Church of America is about? It is. That's the truth. Western societies have been fed a diet of, we're safe from war. We're safe from the outside environments and all. And 9/11 should have woken a lot of people up that even with two oceans that separate us from the rest of the world, we are not isolated from the effects of war. And that is the same as with us in a spiritual warfare. Only in Western societies, in America especially, do you not hear a lot of spiritual warfare. You don't hear about the fight that goes on. And I'm here to tell you that the moment you open your eyes and you put your feet on the floor, you enter into the battle. whether you understand it or not is immaterial at this point. I want you to understand that this battle is invisible. And this battle rages for the hearts and minds of God's people. And the moment we say that it doesn't exist is the moment that we are defeated. It exists. And the reality of it is, all week long, every day, for 6 days a week, we go out, we do our thing, we become frustrated. When we become frustrated, we become angry. When we become angry, we say and do things that are not very godly. And what happens is we have little or complete indifference of how we behave in public, before people, with whoever we are acting with. And what we don't realize is we are sharing our testimony, our lives before the world. And when we act just like them, we don't realize that we are in the warfare. We have forgotten that we're in this warfare. And we've forgotten what our place is because we are warriors. The moment we understand, we enter into repentance, but the damage is already done. The seeds that the enemy has planted into our head has now crept out of our mouths and through our actions, and it has polluted the rest of our opportunities for sharing with people. And the only way that people begin to understand that we are different is when we go and say, "Karen, forgive me, I've offended you. And I repent to you." And if she was out of the world, she would say, "What the heck is repentance?" "Yeah, I forgive you. But what is repentance? Somebody, tell me, what's repentance?" Agreeing with God that you're wrong. And it's mentally 180 degrees of forsaking what you did before and walking away. And walking with God to restore the damage that you have done. That's repentance. The other part of the repentance is that person who has been offended or who has been damaged by it now has the right to hold you accountable to behave appropriately. You see, and that's the missing truth that goes in. I could say, "Ed, you need to forgive me." And Ed says, "Yeah, I forgive you." And then I keep doing it and doing it and doing it. The warfare is going on. I'm not changing. Right? And all he's doing is forgiving me, but there's no accountability to my actions. And what God is saying that for his church, in order for this glory to come into being, we must grow up into him, into the fullness of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what Ephesians 4 is all about? When you look down around verse 17, it says, each one of us coming into the knowledge of the Son of God, supplying the needs one to another. Right? That we all come into this unity of faith. And so that may seem that we are cultish, but it is not that we're cultish. What it is we're now upping the ante. That we're no longer going to be pseudo-Christians. We're actually going to be sons and daughters of the Most High. Jesus is our warring king, and we are his warrior people. Amen? So how does that come into play? Well, when we became born again, all things became new to us. And part of that newness is learning a different way to live, a different way to speak, a different way to behave. Why? Because this behavior is what's required of our Father in heaven, because we are now kings and priests of a heavenly kingdom that will soon arrive with the King. And he is coming back for a people that are looking for him earnestly and live for him. So these songs that we sing are not just things that are exoterial, that we just sing and then we think it's good. This is what we believe. You know, and to experience God in a new and fulfilling way. I think the worship team did a wonderful job in bringing us into worship and coming in to a crescendo of praise and another crescendo of praise and another. That is awesome because he is worthy. He has given us his royal spirit in us. And sometimes we forget or we allow the enemy to divert our understanding as to what this is all about. And it says, we must learn to live wise. This battle is invisible. And just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it's not going on. And living wise is not living in such a way that you know what, we're head cases and stuff. Living wise is understanding who you are in Jesus Christ and the power and authority that He wants you to not only, He's already given you all power and authority, He wants you now to begin to exercise this. He wants you to begin to start demonstrating who you are. And that starts with a change of our lives. Amen? You know, every day when we get up, we find that the day is filled with new and clear present dangers to cause us to fall and ruin our testimony. And those of us who fight against this every day are meeting with more and more resistance. It doesn't get easier, it gets harder. It really does. Because, you know, as you begin to start getting your attitudes changed and your behavior start to change and your speech starts to change, we ruffle people's feathers. I can't understand why you're acting like this. Well, that's because I'm in love with God. Yeah, well, you know what? Susie and Jimmy, they go to church and they act just like us. Well, I'm not worried about Susie and Jimmy. I'm worried about me, because when I stand before the risen King, I have to give an account on what I've done. And just like they will too. Now, this accounting for the believer is one that you know, it's not filled with bad things, because when we stand before God to receive our rewards, we stand there for judgment, but our judgment is for rewards. It's not damnation. Those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, those who have disobeyed the gospel and lived their lives for themselves, will come to understand that there is punishment for all those who do their own thing. You can't live in sin and call yourself a Christian. It just, you know, that's not what God says. He says you forsake that, you come out of that, you put away that, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But you may be sitting there thinking that you know, this may seem unfair, but it's not unfair. What it is God's standard for us to begin to come to this plumb line of maturity in Him, so that as we relate properly with Him, we begin to relate properly with one another. We start speaking the same thing, doing the same thing, thinking the same thing. Not that we become mindless robots, because He has created us individually, and He wants us to use that individuality in such a way, as they're saying, go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Go out and help someone, you know, with the hopes of sharing Jesus Christ. Going on and living your life in such a way that He becomes the focus point, not me, or in your case, you. Redeeming the time, it simply means allowing ourselves to be controlled not by our situations or circumstances, but losing ourselves in Jesus Christ. It's using the time in such a way that it becomes a commodity, like money is a tool. Time is a commodity in which we must invest in order to reap a reward. How does that look? Well, when we go out and we share the good news of Jesus Christ, we talk about what Jesus has done for us. But Pastor, you know, my girlfriends and boyfriends, they just don't want to hear about it. That's because you're hanging with the wrong ones. The ones that God wants you to go to really need to hear. But I just don't know how to relate to them. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit show you how to do that? Open your heart up. Jesus died for the world, not just you and not just me. His blood is poured out to redeem mankind. And we all have an obligation. And in this warfare that we're fighting, you know, whether it's in our mind, in our actions, our attitudes, our body language, whatever it is, we're fighting a real war. And the standard that God has for us is one that's higher, not lower, than what we have going on. And so, you know, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thinking is higher than your thinking. He expects us to elevate ourselves from the muck and mire of each and every day to find out what it is that He wants us to do. And as we're beginning to come out of those things, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now you may say that's kind of crazy, but you know, it's called living a sanctified life. And living sanctified means that you totally separate yourself from the world. Its traditions, its standards, its way of doing things, its behaviors, its attitudes. And what happens is we take on a different set of ideals and principles. We put away the world and we become this new creation by doing the things that God wants us to do and saying the things that God wants us to say. Not because, again, we're not mindless robots, but we are a people that are being encouraged. And every day we're going through this warfare. Every day we're trying to get this thing to go right for us. Oh, do I pray this time? Do I go and serve here? And really what happens is because we don't live a sanctified life, we don't live a life that is totally fixed on God, we then try to squeeze this stuff into our Christianity when the fact of the matter is we can't squeeze any more in because there is no room but for Him. Does that make sense? And what we do is we resist allowing Him His place in our lives. See, you can't do more prayer time. You can't read more Bible. You can't do all those things. You have to be this. You are either going to be alive in Jesus Christ or you're going to be dead in the world. That's all there is to it. Now, Paul talks about living foolishly. If we're going to live wise and put this stuff off, there's also a foolishness that comes in. And what happens to people when they know that they are filled with guilt and they're filled with a lot of bad things, there's tremendous hurt and pain in their heart, what do? The world drinks, right? They go to the bar to try to drown out their sorrows. They go to the bar to try to find their next best friend that's at the bottom of their glass. They find that he's not there, right? And these people, the more they drink, the real person of who they are comes out. That person may come out in anger, may be abusive, may be a person who is very obnoxious, who says things just to hurt people because of the pain that they're feeling. And what happens is the more we drink, the more less self-control we become. Or we have less inhibition. And so now we feel like we have this license to tell everybody and give them a piece of our mind. But really, you know, the fact of the matter is you don't have any mind to give because all you're doing is giving out from the abundance of your heart, which is damaged. And God wants to heal. God wants to do something. Now, I'm not telling you to go into the bars and look for the next person who's really in pain and stuff, but I am telling you that you know people like this. And I'm trying to get you to look at their position in a little bit different way. Because these people, Jesus died for. Living foolishly is to believe that our behavior, there's no consequences to it. Living foolishly is believing that no one sees what you're doing while you live on a highway to hell. Some choose not to notice, others choose not to speak about it, but believers are not given to it. They are to expose it for what it is and aid that soul through love into a relationship with God who brings healing to them. So what happens now? All week long we're going through this battle. And now we come together. The warriors come together. Well, let me paint you a picture of what it looks like in the military. In the military, when they go out on rounds or they do little missions, these guys and gals are risking their lives every single second that they leave their post, their army station and all. They're out there risking their lives. And sometimes they have firefights, and sometimes people get wounded, and sometimes people die. And when they get back to their base and they bring their dead back in and they bring their wounded back in and they assess what was going on and they tell their commanding officer what happened here, what did this and that happened there. The next thing they do is they gather together to celebrate. And these people come and celebrate for the sole purpose of honoring the dead and honoring those who are still alive. All week long, we as warriors, you're warriors and I'm a warrior, all week long, we're in this firefight. We are in this battle every day. And when we gather, we got to stop thinking church. You really got to stop thinking church. You got to start thinking about being a warrior. Jesus died on a cross, a warrior, a warring king. And when he imparted his spirit, his eternal spirit into you and into me, that very moment we received him, we became a warrior. And so when we go out and we do this battle all the time and we come back here, let us put off this juvenile mindset that my roast is burning. That, man, I could have been down the shore today. You know, the preacher went on long today. Man, the music stunk. That's not why we're gathering. We're gathering to celebrate having survived a week without being taken out. We're gathering to celebrate those who got injured but are still with us. We're there to celebrate those who died for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's why we gather. And when we take communion, we honor the dead in Jesus Christ. We honor Jesus. He died and forever lives. That's why we praise him. Because it doesn't matter if I die. It matters that I did what he wanted me to do. And if I died, I want you guys to celebrate and honor my death, or me honor your death as a warrior. That's why we gather. You see, you can't go into a battle without being disciplined. You can't do your own thing. If you're going to do your own thing, you're going to end up being dead. And you've got to begin to come out of this mindset of this churchianity in such a way that you live for yourself. You don't live for yourself. You live for what the king wants us to live for. And if that means I sacrifice my life for the purpose of Jesus Christ, then that's what I'll do. Because his kingdom is advancing. And the hearts and souls of God's people is what is at stake here. It isn't about, you know, how tough my week has been. Your week has been as tough as my week. We gather because the king is here to honor us with his presence. We come here because the king wants to say something to us. He wants to say, good job, my faithful. Good job, my hard worker. Good job for taking care of my flocks. Good job. Now go do it again this week. And so we come in honoring him. His presence not only is here with us at this very moment, it infuses us just like the cloud did down at the beach. And he restores us. He builds us up. Takes those pains, those scars, those hurts that we've had to go through this week, and he heals them so that we can go and help those who need our help. He infuses us with renewed vigor and power to go and lay hands on people, touch them, caress them, not in a selfish, sensual way, but with the heart of the Master who is full of compassion and mercy. Yeah, we got some tough nuts to crack, but you know what? Jesus is the one who cracked the toughest one. Our sin. And so when we gather, we get filled with one another. And when we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs one to another, that is our spirits, our warring spirits. I don't know if you've ever been around soldiers, but if you see that the movies, that when they gather together, they sing songs of bravado unto one another. That's what this is about. We're declaring that the kingdom of God is here, here, here. I am, you are, we are the kingdom, and he's the king. And Satan does not want us to make it an effect. In Williamstown, in the lives of people, in the lives of our families, in the lives of the churches that Christ died for. To sing, lift one spirit from the muck and mire of the daily fight. We know we're going to go back out there today. We're going to leave this base of operation today. And we're going to go back into the muck and mire. Just because we've gathered doesn't mean that the war doesn't stop. This is our base. And this is where we come to get filled with His Spirit again, to be rejuvenated, to get healed, to lay it down, to put it off. You know what? You're thinking too much about what others are thinking about you. You should start thinking about what God sees and wants to do with you. You are more precious to Him, and that's why He died for you and for me. No one can love you more than Jesus. No one can satisfy the deep things that your desires are. And no one but Jesus, no one but Jesus can truly heal you of the defects and deficiencies that each and every one of us have. And it's time for us to let them things go, get healed, and go out there and make the devil mad at us. You know, you're going to get beat up. I'd rather get beat up and stand for something and know I'm doing the right thing than to just get beat up. I don't know anybody that just wants to get beat up. Me, I like fighting back. And when I fight back, I don't lose. I don't fight fair, but I don't lose. We don't have to fight anymore. All we need to do is preach the good news that there's someone who already won the battle. And I can tell you who he is, and I can introduce you to him if you so desire. Five things we need to understand. We need to pay personal attention to our behaviors. That's living wisely. How you behave, I know how you behave in front of me is one way, but how you behave in front of God when no one else is seeing, he sees it. The good, the bad, and the ugly. So our personal behavior needs to change more and more. It needs to be elevated. Two, use every situation for God's glory. Stop looking at it as a personal attack or your personal woe. Look at it from a standpoint. What are you trying to show me, God, and where is it you want me to be? Get me to that place, God. Get me to see the good in what you've got going on. Not the bad. Three, we know that the day is evil. What Jesus is saying here is that the day is evil morally. There is so many things that cause us to fail. But the morality of a nation, we can see that this nation is going down because its people have lost its morals. Because its leaders have lost its morals. And we saw that last week. Right? Four, you must apply every effort in applying God's word. This is not an option where I can read the word of God and pretend that I don't have to do anything. If you've read the Bible, everything that you've read in the Bible, you are accountable to God for. Not to me, to him. It's his word to you. Well, I just won't read the Bible. That doesn't matter. You've got the word spoken to you. Every word that you hear, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You are accountable to God for for. Just like I'm accountable for sharing the truth with you. And finally, be filled with the Spirit. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing them. Get them built into your life. I remember, and I'm pretty sure, Holly, you still do. She's upstairs singing, and it just lifts my spirit because, you know, I sing those songs in my heart. But she's up there singing, tra-la-la-la-la, whatever song it was. Comes down, goes in the shower, you know, singing. You know what? That's infectious. Good stuff, good behavior, good music builds you up in, with goodness. And I was honored to have Holly live with us, you know, really. It's great to see someone get the truth and understand what it means and then apply it. It's one thing to get the revelation. It's another to apply it. And that's what I'm saying to you guys. You know, be filled with the Spirit. Sing these songs. Get the words into you. You know, when I was in the Presbyterian Church, believe me, that God has a place for everybody. He really does. I would never go back to that, but I understand where they are. And we have to understand, to experience life and liberty in Jesus Christ means that there's an accountability, that once we experience it, we need to live it. We need to, because to go back to something that we see something here and we begin to look at, you know, how in the world can you go back into the tomb? How can you sit there and not praise Him? I sat there this morning and the devil said to me, I want you to sit there and just listen to God's people praise. And I said, no. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to get up and praise my God who died for me, who has set me free, who has healed me of every malady within my heart and in my flesh. And you're not going to stop me because I'm not going to let some rock praise me louder than what He's created me to do. I have been created, and so have you, for His praise and glory. That's why we gather. We're warriors. You may not feel like a warrior, but I'm telling you the truth. You are a warrior. We gather not for some sort of religious service. We gather to honor the dead in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. And the living, those who have survived. Jesus won the victory. He is no longer in the grave. He is alive forevermore. Sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me to do His will. And all of heaven is cheering us on. It's cheering us on. I just want to exhort you that as you go forth starting today, there's a warfare, but now we need to use those weapons in such a way that we win the loss. We cut them out of those things that have tripped them up. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that You are awesome, that You have given us Your Spirit, Lord. Eternal life You have given to us. You are the uncreated eternal one, Lord. And You have given us Yourself fully. God, don't let us just hear and not put into action today, God. Let us not be just hearers of Your word, but God, let us act upon Your word. Let us be real about what it is that You're calling us to do, God. Let us reach out to those, God, that You have died for. Let us begin to see them as You see them, God. Not as a nuisance and not as trouble, God, but a people that are hurting or in pain. Lord, as we go forth today, we give You all praise and all glory. Because the battle's not ours, God. You've already won the battle. In Jesus' name.